This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. Amen. Praise the Lord. The last time I preached, I was talking about arising and shining. That's the word that the Lord gave us for 2016. He said, arise and shine. And then he gave us Isaiah chapter 16. Before I start, I want to tell you a story. Some years back, I was still at varsity. I had two dreams. I woke up on Sundays, two consecutive Sundays, with those dreams. The first dream that I had was, there was a man that lived in our village. He was a Christian, born again. And he passed on to be with the Lord. Now, in the dream that I had Sunday, having dreamt of, this man was risen from the dead. So we were sitting on a bench. It was some women sitting there, and his wife as well. And the wife was still wearing the black clothes as a sign of mourning. So this man was standing in front of us. He was trying to explain to us how he was raised from the dead. So he started talking, trying to explain how he was raised from the dead. And as he was speaking, trying to explain how he was raised from the dead, his wife said, "You don't have to go into details. Just tell us what happened, but you don't have to go into details." And the man was frustrated by that. And he got into his car. And he drove off. And he went and he parked somewhere else. But where he was still trying to explain how he was raised from the dead. Woke up. I knew that was a significant dream, but I had no understanding of what it meant. And the following Sunday, I woke up with another dream. The same man, he met me on the mountain next to his home. He met me on that mountain and he said to me, "Today is a Sunday. Let's go to church and learn about Gideon." And I woke up, seeing that the previous Sunday I woke up with a dream, having dreamt about this person, and now this second Sunday I have still dreamt about this person. Then I started asking the Lord, "Lord, what's the story here? I don't understand what this thing is all about." And I spent some time praying and looking for interpretation of the dreams. Then the Lord gave me an understanding of the first dream, which blessed me to have that understanding, but as well, it somehow made me feel sad. The story is, this man was resurrected from the dead. With him having been resurrected from the dead, so his wife had a husband back. And therefore, the man that provided for the family was back in the picture. When the man was back in the picture, the wife was still wearing black mourning clothes. Now, the expectation is that when the man is raised from the dead, he's back and he's alive, the wife was supposed to take off those clothes and wear new clothes or whatever, but not the clothes that still say, "I am mourning the death of my husband." That's the first part. But the second part is, the husband is standing in front of us. He is trying to explain to us how he was resurrected. The wife said, "You don't have to go into details. You know, we don't need to know the details of how you were resurrected. When you look at this now, when the husband passed on, the wife had to look after herself. She had to start finding ways of generating income because now the husband is gone. When she is still sitting there, wearing those clothes, she is saying her husband is still what? Gone. And she's not interested in knowing the details of how the husband was raised from the dead. And the Lord said, that's the state of the body of Christ. That wife represents the church. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Jesus Christ is now alive. But what you find is that we as the church, we still find ourselves living as if Jesus Christ is still dead. Jesus Christ is back and he wants to provide for us. But we prefer to go out and find ways of providing for ourselves. We trust in our self-effort. We do not want to receive our husband back and allow him to take his position to be the one who provides for the family. And when the Lord wants to explain to us how he was resurrected from the dead, we are saying to him, you don't have to go into details. Paul said, I pray and I seek and I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. But you find that the body of Christ is in a stage where they are not so interested in the power of his resurrection. They don't want to understand the details. Say whatever you want to say. Don't give us all those details. And that is what you find in the body of Christ right now. We are not interested in knowing the word of God in details. We want to be emotionally charged. We come to church and we are emotionally charged. We have been motivated and we can go back to the world and we will live again like the world. We do not take the word that the Lord shares with us and allow that word to give us the life that God has for us. We have not come to full understanding of what the Lord achieved and availed for us. We are still trying to achieve things in our own strength. We are sitting as if we are still mourning the death of Jesus Christ. That's the challenge that we're sitting with as the body of Christ. Now, I'm telling you this story because I'm connecting this story to the story what that man said when he said, you know, let's go to church. Let us learn about Gideon. And that is what the Lord gave me to share on for the coming few weeks. To learn about Gideon. But in us learning about Gideon, the title of the message that the Lord gave me was still Arise and Shine. So we will look at Gideon and we will see how he arose and started shining and allowing the glory of the Lord to be seen over his life. Praise the Lord. As I said, our 2016 message or word from the Lord is Arise and Shine. And the Lord gave us Isaiah 60. Verses 1 to 5, we're not going to go into details with that part. Last week, or the last time when I preached, I covered that scripture. So I'm not going to go into details with that verse. So, but just remember this, that this is the word that the Lord gave us for 2016. God is saying we have to arise. And arising It means us taking our position. And the Bible says, as we take our position, God will show his glory over our lives. And the question last time when we preached on this message was, how does one arise? That's the question that we answered last week. We said, you will arise through, number one, obedience to faith, not standards. Won't go into details. The message is available even on our website already. Obedience to faith. That's the first thing that we have to understand. We are not called to be obedient to standards, but we are definitely called to be obedient to faith. Number two, we said hearing the word preached. We spoke about the importance of hearing the word preached to us. And we said the word brings healing, health, deliverance, anything that you need as it is preached, because it carries power in itself. And thirdly, we said confessing the promise. These are the three things that we can do. Three basic things we can do to take our position so that the Lord can start shining through us. Today we are going to look at the example of Gideon. We will see how Gideon arose and how the glory of the Lord was seen upon his life. We will read from the book of Judges chapter 6. We'll read verses 1 to 30. I'll stop in between and just share a little bit, but with that, that's what we're going to be reading from. Let's read firstly from verse 1, I think, up to verse 11. Verse 1, the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. So the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. The Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites made hiding places for themselves in the mountains, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, marauders from Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east would attack Israel, camping in the land and destroying crops as far away as Gaza. They left the Israelites with nothing to eat, taking all the sheep, goats, cattle, and donkeys. These enemy hordes, coming with their livestock and tents, were as thick as locusts. They arrived on droves of camels, too numerous to count, and they stayed until the land was stripped bare. This was bad. Verse 6. So Israel was reduced to starvation by the Midianites. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. That's important. Then they cried out to the Lord. And you will see that all the time when people cry out to the Lord answers. He has never gone away like he never answers. Never. Every time. When people call, God answers. Verse 7, when they cried out to the Lord because of Midian, the Lord sent a prophet. The Lord sends a word through a prophet. Psalm 107 verse 20, he sent forth his word and healed them, and he delivered them from their destructions. God's deliverance comes through his word. For the Lord to deliver you, he's going to give you a word. And when you take that word and you apply that word in your life, your deliverance is going to come to pass. The answer here is God sent a word through a prophet. That's the person that he used there. But God is not limited to a prophet. You must remember we live under a different covenant. God speaks to us directly as well. He still has prophets that he uses. Apostles, pastors, evangelists, teach us. He still has those people to minister the word to us. But God is not limited to having somebody speak to you. He can speak to you directly. But now when you are in the house of the Lord and the Lord gives the word, take that word as your word of deliverance. God never wastes words. He uses his words correctly, and he makes sure that every word that comes out of his mouth, he says it will never return to him void, but it shall surely accomplish that which he sent to accomplish. Verse 8, the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites. He said to them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of slavery in Egypt. God is bringing correction to the house of Israel. He says, I brought you out of the house of Egypt. I found you in slavery, and I brought you out of that slavery. Let's continue. I rescued you from the Egyptians and from all who oppressed you. I drove out your enemies and gave you their land. God is telling them what he has done for them. I told you, I am the Lord your God. You must not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live. But you have not listened to me. This is the word that the Lord brought to Israel. When you look at the Bible, you will realize that God has something about people saving other gods. His people putting trust in other gods. If there is anything that God cannot tolerate, is people putting their trust in other gods. Verse 11. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a winepress to hide the grain from the Midianites. Now look at this. The Lord gave the word. And then after giving that word, then he left them. And his plan of action kicked in. There's something there. This is how God comes. God comes and he will give you a word. He will give you an instruction. After he has given you an instruction, you must know that it's not that he's going to sit and wait. He has given you his word. He takes it that you will receive his word. You will believe his word. And when you take his word, his plan is started. And he starts working on bringing to pass that he promised you. So if you look at your circumstances, you look at yourself, God has called you and brought you into another place, saying, this is where I want you to be. This is what I want you to do. You must understand that God has started working to bring to pass that which he promised you. Verse 12, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. The King James Version, he says, you mighty man of valor. I like this one. It's simple. The English, I understand. Mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Think about this. This man is hiding. He's hiding. He's working, hiding. The enemies are out there attacking them, and they're hiding. They're trying to survive. When the Lord comes to them, what does he say? He says, mighty hero. Has he done anything? Nothing. And the Lord starts calling him mighty hero. And he says, the Lord is with you. There are two things there. The first thing is, this guy is a mighty hero. The second thing is the Lord is with him. The faith is who gives him that ability to be a winner, a hero. The Lord gives him that ability. But this man had to see himself as well as what? A mighty hero. The Lord could have come and said, Gideon, I have called you, I have anointed you, I want to use you. And try to explain a lot of things. No, the Lord went straight and started calling him what he is, he truly is, what he had not seen. Now the question is, what is God calling you? What does God call you? Does he call you a mighty hero? Does he call you his problem child? Does he come to you and magnify how bad you are? You must understand that the prophet came, and look at this, the prophet came to give them a word. That was the minister of the prophet. To give the word to say, guys, you have been wrong. After that, God does not send the same prophet. The Bible says the angel of the Lord came and spoke to Gideon. And the angel of the Lord said, you mighty hero, who made us righteous? Eh? Christ himself. He came to make us righteous. The Bible says we have been made the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. He was made sin for us. And we were made what? God's righteousness. When Jesus speaks to us, he does not call us rebellious children. He calls us God's righteousness. Because he knows what he did to give us that status. But we need to accept that status. We need to know, first of all, that we are God's righteousness. We must know that through the righteousness that God has given to us, we can then reign in life through righteousness and grace. But then, once we have that understanding, let us have the second understanding. Let us understand that the Lord is with us. It is not just our status. It is not just who we are. But the second thing that we need to know is that God is with us. He gives us a direction. He tells us to move in a certain way, do something. Know that, yes, you qualify to do that. You can do it because of what Christ has accomplished for you. But secondly, God has not left you on your own. He is with you. So he will see to it that he brings it to pass. But you must first arise. First, see yourself as the mighty hero you are. That's your part. See yourself as a mighty hero. If you don't see yourself as a mighty hero, you have not taken your position yet. So the Lord is with you, but he can't do anything because you're not taking your position. Take your position. Take your position. Verse 13. Say, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? This is what you hear in the world. You hear Christians saying as well, not just people in the world. They say, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Are we not in that situation today? Where when you look around, it looks like people are saying, where is the Lord? We don't see the hand of the Lord. Why is the Lord not doing what he's supposed to do? God is now coming to Gideon, and Gideon is giving this answer to the Lord. The Lord is saying to him, arise, Gideon. And this is his answer. This is an honest man. He is asking genuine questions. We cannot blame him. But now we need to observe how the Lord responds. God said something through his actions, which said, do not look at what happened in the past. Forget about what happened in the past. Now we are here to do something together. Amen. Let's focus on where we are and moving forward. Forget about what you've lost in the past. Now he continues to say, didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt, but now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites? This man is telling God how he feels. And God understands. But God had come to make him realize who he was. Let's look at some lessons that we're getting from this part. The first reason is, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to emphasize this part. When people call on the name of the Lord, God always answers. You remember even Daniel, when he prayed, the Bible says the first time he prayed and within 3 minutes or so, the angel of the Lord was there to give him an answer. And he prayed again, and he even fasted, and it took 21 days before the angel of the Lord arrived with the answer. But when the angel arrived, that angel said to him, from the day when you cried unto the Lord, I was sent forth. But in me being sent forth, there were forces that withstood me and stopped me from bringing to you the answer that you're looking for. But God answered you the first time that you prayed. Whoever that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans chapter 10 verse 13 says the same. God told them what they did wrong. In the Bible, God seems to be tolerant toward the sin or the sins of his people until they chose to put their trust in other gods. I've mentioned this. There is something about putting your trust in another God that it just puts God off. God tolerated some of their little things. The one thing that he could not tolerate was them starting to trust other gods. And every time when you look at the Bible, when God abandoned Israel, when he let them be taken over by another nation, overcome by another nation, every time it was because they started following other gods. What does that talk to when we start talking about following other gods? You're starting to say something else is your provider, not God anymore. Now, even today, we see God's grace and mercy until we choose to put our trust in other things, which include our actions. God rains his rain upon the just and the unjust. And when we trust God to come forth and reveal himself in our lives, what does he do? He does that. He will always reveal himself. But the moment we start putting our trust in other things and including our actions, when we start saying God is doing this because I have done this, all of a sudden we see the Lord pulling out. You must remember revivals that broke out when it was bad. People started preaching the word of God and people get born again. And there's a revival because of the preaching of the way. But then time came when people started saying, no, we are having this revival because of these things that are taking place. One of the things that people normally say, they say there was a revival because there was no sin. They say we had a revival because people did not have sin. There was no sin. Now when the revival starts dying down, people say the revival is dying down because of sin in the camp. People start saying It's because of their righteousness that there was a revival. That becomes an issue. Because all of a sudden people think and they feel that they are carrying the revival of the Lord. It's their good works. It's no longer the Lord that is just doing his work as he likes. But it's because they are doing certain things. Then we start seeing the grace of God, manifestation of the grace of God and the mercy of God going down. Because now we have started putting our trust in our ability. God cannot stand self-effort. Self-effort implies that what Jesus did was not enough. If you think God will answer you because of what you do, you have just now declared that actually Jesus Christ, whatever he did, it was not enough. I need to add my actions. And that's where the problem starts. It's not Jesus plus. It must be Jesus alone. And the moment you say it's Jesus plus, what happens? Then all of a sudden, the Lord pulls out. There's nothing he can do. You don't trust him anymore. You're not putting your whole trust on Jesus Christ. We must understand that we still said there is obedience to the faith. So what does it mean then? Once we have believed, the obedience to the faith now is what? God will start instructing you to tell you to do certain things. And as you do those things in response of his word, the Lord can bring to pass what he says he wants to bring to pass. But not you going to do something to make God to move. Remember last time we read 2 Peter chapter 1, where it talks about grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and his Son, Jesus Christ. How do we get grace and peace multiplied to us? Through knowledge. Knowledge. And it's talking about you knowing the word and coming to a point where your knowledge of the word, it brings an experience. You've meditated on that word. And then the Lord can give you a rhema. You will always start with logos. But as you spend time in the word of God, what will happen is rhema will eventually come out of it. Yesterday, I spent almost the whole time that I was not in the word listening to one message. One message. I listened to that message over and over and over and over again. Why? Because I believe what I preach. To say, the Bible says, salvation comes through the preaching of the word of God. Don't try to gamble with God, promising to do something in exchange of what you want from him. That is what gambling with him. God freely gives to us. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. You should not try and gamble. Don't say to God, God, I'll do this and I expect you to do this for me. No. God does things for us freely because of what he did through Christ Jesus. So go to God and spend time with him. And as you spend time with him, he's going to give you a rhema word. The challenge that we have as the body of Christ is we still want to depend on laws and standards. Being told by somebody what to do. We don't trust the Spirit in us. The Bible talks about a new covenant, which is more glorious than the previous one. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. When you read chapter 3, it's talking about the two covenants. And the Bible says the glory of the new covenant should be greater than the glory of the previous covenant. But we, the body of Christ, even today, we still want to follow standards. We don't want to spend time in the Word with the Lord. And as we spend time in the Word with the Lord, wait and listen for an instruction from him. Because when he then can give us an instruction, the Holy Spirit, who is now our Lord, when he can give us the instruction, what will happen is when we act on that, that's a rhema word. When you act on that word, you will see fruit. The results will come. But no, We want to run around and do whatever we like to do. And then we want to follow 5 steps. And be allowed to go and do whatever we want to do anytime. But you know what? Then we'll give God just a little bit of time. Bazalwane, we are living under the covenant where the Holy Spirit is now Lord. He is the one that guides us. The Holy Spirit took the place of the law. You are no longer led by the law, but you are now led by the Holy Spirit. So what does it mean? Seek to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And how are you going to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? Spend time with the Lord. Spend time with God. Spend time with God. And as you spend time with the Lord, the Holy Spirit will speak. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. And he said, if you abide in me, you will bear what? Fruit. So spend time in the word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 to 3. Spend time. Praise the Lord. We're reading verse 14 now of Judges chapter 6. Then the Lord turned to him and said, now you'll remember, this man told God that where is God if we are in this situation? We don't understand. And now this is the response that he gets from the angel of the Lord. Now the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. God is saying, I don't care of what happened in the past. Go in the strength of yours. He is not saying, get more strength. He says, you already have the strength. So go in your strength. So know who you are. Take your rightful place. And as you take your rightful place, you will see that I will rescue Israel using you. He's not saying go to Bible school. He's not saying go to whatever, do something. No, he is saying go in the strength that you have. Look at this answer. This is very familiar. But Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family. This is the response that the Lord normally comes across when he sends us, when he gives us an assignment to do. We look at ourselves. We look at what is around us, and we see ourselves as not qualifying to be used by the Lord. This man did exactly that. I'm the weakest, I'm the least in my family. This is how he saw himself. What did God say to him when he greeted him? He said, you mighty hero. He answers God, he says, I'm the least in my family. And not just me, you know, even my clan, I come from a very, very, very weak family. Verse 16, the Lord replied, I will be with you. This is powerful. And you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. I will be with you. God is saying, forget about how you see yourself. I see a mighty hero in you, but you see the opposite, so forget about that. Now know that I am going to be with you, and you will see that you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting one man. In conclusion, the lessons. You have all it takes for you to fulfill God's purpose for your life. John chapter 1 verse 16 says, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. It says we have the fullness of God. In the book of Colossians, the Bible says God decided that the fullness should dwell bodily in Christ. And now it says we have received the fullness of Christ. So we have everything it takes for us to do what God has called us to do. What we need is a rhema from God. We need a now word from God. When we hear a now word from God, we will do exactly what he tells us to do. And when we do what he tells us to do, we'll see the breakthrough come. That is all that we need now. And now we, God, what should I do now? God, now this is bringing us to this point of now depending on him, spending time with God, spending time with him. Because as we spend time with him, we will be able to hear the word that he wants to speak to us. So being lazy and not spending time with God, it's not going to help us in any way. We have been called to grace. That does not mean we have been called to being lazy and doing nothing. That is what happens a lot when people hear the message of grace. They think, I don't have to do anything. I can just, you know what, cruise along. No, you have been called to obedience to faith. And obedience to faith says, now you are no longer led by the laws and standards. You are now led by the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. That is what you are called to. So in other words, endeavor then to spend time with the Holy Spirit. Endeavor to spend time with the Holy Spirit. And as you spend time with the Holy Spirit, you will hear the now word. And when you hear the now word, God will break through. This is how we arise, Bazalan. This is how we arise. It doesn't matter what you have or do not have. What matters is who is with you. Don't look at yourself. Stop looking at yourself. Just take the word of God. Take it as he says. You are a mighty hero. Take it. Rise as a mighty hero. Conclusion. God guarantees that you will have victory if you stand up and fight. Therefore, arise and shine. Don't consider what you are in the natural. God is with you as you stand up to fight for your freedom. And that's the way that I had for today. Arise and shine. That is what God has called us to. He has called us to the point where we can arise and we can shine. Now, before we end the service, I just want us to take this time to pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we thank you for your word that you've brought to us this morning. Father, we receive it with meekness in our hearts, such that, Father, we receive that, Lord. Your word says, as we arise, your glory will be seen over our lives. Father, we thank you for not just telling us to arise, but also showing us how to arise. Father, I believe that through this series right now, that is what you want to show us. And Father, we believe that you want to reveal your glory over our lives and as well throughout this earth that you've placed us in. So Father, in Jesus' name, we receive now your teaching us to be able to arise. Lord, today your word says we live in a covenant of the Holy Spirit now. Just like Gideon, where the angel of the Lord came and spoke to him. Father, it is so amazing to see how accurate the understanding that we have now received of the new covenant, that the Holy Spirit does not find fault with us. But the Holy Spirit speaks words of encouragement. That's what your word tells us. It says that the Holy Spirit will come and convict the world of one sin only, the sin of unbelief, but also convict the world of righteousness. Now that we have this righteousness with Christ. Father, we thank you that we can see the angel of the Lord convicting, speaking to Gideon and telling him of his right standing before God and his being ready to do that which God has called him to do. Father, we receive these words, and Lord, we are saying we will follow the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. And we know that as we listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, we will see the glory of the Lord being seen and revealed over our lives. We thank you for this word, Father. We receive it. And Father, we receive that through your anointing, Father, you help us to be able to live this word in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.